Welcome to Talk World Radio, a half-hour discussion of politics as if the people mattered. I'm David Swanson. This week on Talk World Radio, we are talking about people in the U.S. who are fasting in solidarity with the people of Gaza who are being starved by the government of Israel and its supporters in the U.S. and other governments. We're talking with one person who is fasting, Mike Ferner, longtime member of and former president of Veterans for Peace, former city council member in Toledo, Ohio, author of Inside the Red Zone, a Veteran for Peace reports from Iraq, and general all-around troublemaker, Mike Ferner. Welcome back to Talk World Radio.
Great to be here, David. Thank you.
Glad you're here. Glad you're doing this. Let's start with how is your health and that of other people fasting?
Well, we're all, except for one of us, still making it out to the UN every day. I regret to say Kathy Kelly, who was not starting out with very much in reserve in the first place, I think at day nine, she decided, well, her husband told her, and several people told her, stay home today. She's here in New York, but her blood pressure was way down, and you know that happens, and you start passing out when you're standing up.
Yeah.
And that is not good when you fall over and break a bone. So anyway, she's still very active, communicating with people and that sort of thing.
Emailing me in the past 10 minutes as we speak.
Thank you. So anyway, the rest of us are, showing up. There's been, I think, the six of us. And then there's also a number of people who live in New York who are also doing the 40 days, who come by almost every day. There's three or four people like that. So anyway, to give you an example, I did a similar fast with Kathy 20 years ago in Washington, and it was a 35-day fast, and it was just water and tea. But as my wife is quick to remind me, that was 20 years ago, man. And I'm really starting to feel the effects of this. And it's good because our purpose is to alert people and hopefully motivate people to get involved in doing whatever they can to stop this genocide. But at the same time, we want to be witnesses and to a very minor extent, participants in what it's like to not have any food or not nearly enough food. And we're in day 11, I think, and my brain is slowing down. I like to do some of the writing, some of the press statements, this, that, and the other thing. And I either fall asleep at the keyboard or it just takes me forever to do a simple declarative sentence. And you know, that's only day 11. And we have good water here. We don't have the panic and the stress of, am I going to get bombed in the next 10 minutes?
Yeah.
How the people in Gaza have managed to survive this long is unbelievable. And of course, they're not all surviving. Some of the major media outlets are finally beginning to realize that the official statement, the official records from the Hamas health ministry at this point don't mean a damn thing. I mean, there are any sane person would guess hundreds of thousands of people who have been killed. We'll never know for sure. There are God knows how many people. I mean, the UN has made some estimates. I think they said 500,000 people are in danger of starvation. So, my God, the conditions that they're surviving under are just inhumane, intolerable, unacceptable, horrid. I mean, you name it. So we're beginning to experience a tiny bit of that, and I'm seeing how difficult it is to function at anything that I would consider my normal ability.
You know, I think it's about a year and a few months ago, Mike Ferner, that you were on this program together with Josh Paul, who had resigned from the State Department. And the two of you were laying out a case of about a dozen laws that were blatantly violated, U.S. laws blatantly violated by the U.S. government in shipping weapons to Israel. Now that ought to have done it, right? It ought to have been over the next day. What, why was that not enough? Why are we still here, a year and some months later?
I've come to the conclusion it's because we're a rogue nation. And we're not only a rogue nation, but we're a rogue nation with enough weapon with enough weapons to make it stick. So, you might be a rogue nation like we call all kind of places around the world. And if you're a rogue nation called Libya, well, you can be a rogue nation for a little while and then it's lights out, buddy. But this rogue nation, to this point, has been able to keep on going with its military might and its overconsumption of energy and all it takes to get there. So, and now we've got an idiot in chief who really likes being the head of a rogue nation. And so, but of course, then Biden was the president when we wrote that letter to the Department of State saying, chapter and verse, man. Here is the citation of the law. Here is how you have broken it. Here's the documentation. 11 pages with 35 footnotes. And, as you were saying, that should have done it. Well, that would do it in a nation that gave a damn about the law, which clearly we don't. It applies to a few people and applies to whoever we want to apply it to.
Applies to other people, not in Washington. What we were talking earlier, Mike Ferner, about U.S. wars coming home to the U.S., and we could talk for hours about the numerous ways in which that happens. But what did you have in mind?
Well, I've been in my fast mates or whatever we're called. Phil Tottenham is with me. He's also from Toledo. He's the guy who first came up with this idea, and I have glowered at him on any number of occasions to say, "You got another good idea? Keep it to yourself." But he's the guy who came up with this idea, and I helped get it moving. And Russell Brown is here. He's from Buffalo, a VFP member, and a couple of the other people that we communicate with pretty regularly. And I, because of their keeping up with the day-to-day particulars better than I do, they were telling me about, and you can help me with the name, Lika. I've got it written down over here, and I will.
It's quite all right.
Lika Cordia, a Columbia student who had 100 of her family members killed, and she's now in ICE custody for protesting. And of course, we know about Mahmoud Khalil, the fact that he got swept up. And as the IDF and the Israeli Mossad and whoever is busy nabbing and has been for how long nabbing Palestinians off the street because they think they might be thinking the wrong thoughts. We're now doing the same thing here. And it used to be before fairly recently, it used to be okay, you get out there, you say your thing, maybe you wind up with an FBI record, whatever, but you could proceed with a fair amount of the idea that you weren't going to get nabbed off the street. But, be a Palestinian student, and it's a whole other thing. So those two who are in ICE custody. And then I've been hearing about this ICE agents. So it's not, and then this is the bringing it home thing, when it starts getting down to white folks, it's pretty scary. So I've been hearing about ICE agents masked with no ID, no badge numbers, no nothing, going into courtrooms and dragging people out who
Here in
are there to
Charlottesville.
take care of their legal business. They may be undocumented and they're trying to work through the court system or something. And those guys go in there and I mean, it is like something out of one of the worst movies, or Stalin tactics, or you name it. I mean, at this point, we're about one step away from just opening up 50 calibers on the street.
I'm glad I'm talking with you, Mike Ferner, because you and I and some other people were yelling and screaming about this when Dick Cheney was president or George W. Bush was claiming to be president. And I talked to people, good, informed, progressive, decent people today. And I say, this isn't exactly brand new kidnapping people off streets. And then, what do you mean? What do you mean? So, of course it is. Well, do you remember George W. Bush being president? Do you remember snatching people off the streets in Italy and around the world? And they're, oh, you mean abroad? You mean terrorists? Like, no, wait a minute. I mean human beings that aren't prosecuted for any crime. You can't call them terrorists unless you've convicted them of terrorism. Isn't this exactly the point? Oh no, there's, because somehow if it's anywhere outside the United States, this is, I mean, it's always this freaking stinking big deal when Bush would blow up a US citizen instead of a citizen of anywhere else. It was this stinking big deal. This seems to, but didn't we tell everyone, if you don't hold Bush and Cheney accountable, you're going to get somebody worse building on what they did? It's not because we hate Bush, it's because we hate what he's doing. Didn't we say that?
And David, people have been saying that for how long? I mean, look at Wounded Knee, for God's sake. How many people did the feds kill there? And on and on and on. We're in the soup just as much as anybody, but we've got this bullshit American exceptionalism veneer that gets pulled out and put over everything to make people think, well, it can't happen here, or if it happens here a little bit, it's because those people are probably doing something anyway. It astounds me how in denial our fellow citizens, a lot of our fellow citizens, are when you start talking about being propagandized. Oh, not us, man. That's what they do in Russia. Well, I'm sorry, but we've been propagandized since we came out of the womb, and it's the cultural fog we live in, man.
Yeah. So you're surviving now on the same calories that the Israeli government is calculating that can be allowed to Palestinians. Is that what you're doing?
Well, the Israeli government, for years, since they controlled everything that went into Gaza, they controlled how much food, how many calories went in there. I mean, the Nazis did the same damn thing in the concentration camps. How little food, how few calories can we feed these people and still get any work out of them?
Right.
Until they decided to just start burning them in the ovens. But and the Israelis were doing that to the Gazans for years. Now, and I can't give you the source, but a few months ago, as we were talking and reading through things, we saw a report that said, and I can't even say it was a world, it wasn't the World Health Organization, but some reputable agency said the average person in Gaza is getting by on 250 calories a day. Now, that was months ago. And again, they don't have any clean water. They're getting bombed. They got stress that'll kill anybody under normal conditions. So we're getting by in a very limited, like, I guess for somebody like me, a normal caloric intake would be 2,000 a day or something like that. So we're getting by in a lot less, but it's nothing. It's nothing. And I just add this personal note too. I'm glad I'm doing this fast. I love being involved in any kind of direct action and being on the streets and so forth. But I also like to be able to do some, to write letters to people, to do news releases, to that sort of thing. And I'm finding, as of yesterday, as of day 9 and day 10 of the fast, I'm finding that my brain isn't working so well. And like I said, I'm falling asleep at the keyboard. And so it's so tempting to eat a little more and be able to feel like I can maintain that kind of functionality, and wanting to remain under the 250 limit and really have that experience. And if I, if the functionality goes to hell, then it goes to hell, and I won't bother anybody with my news releases. But
But we will treat this video recording as a news release and send it everywhere. I tell
please.
everybody watching to send it everywhere.
It might be my last one.
I very much hope not. We need you. How brings up a good question. How many people are doing this with you, and how long are each of you going to do it, or until what happens are you going to do this?
Well, we're saying the six people committed to this here at the UN. And that's true. But as I said, there are, I don't know how many, I'd probably at least that many more people who live close enough to here to come down and visit. And they're saying, yeah, I'm doing the same thing. So we also know that as of this morning, there are 653 people around the country who have registered at the Friends of Seville North America website for this. They have registered that they're participating. And we don't know if they're participating for a day, if they're doing a Ramadan fast for the whole time, or they're doing 250 calories for the. We don't know. So, to answer your question, how many people are doing it at this level for this long? At this point, I can tell you there's probably 20 around the country, and we know there's somebody in Australia, and I'm not sure where all else, but there's 653 people who have registered and said, yes, I'm going to participate in this fast with you. So we're trying to get better, break down the numbers a little better.
Well, we got to work on getting reports from those people. But if people want to join in who haven't, they can find this website through veteransforpeace.org, right?
Yes. Just go to our homepage, veteransforpeace.org. We've got the typical slider in on the top of the homepage. And the first window in the slider is this graphic of Veterans and Allies Fast for Gaza. And just click on that, and it will take you to the form where you can register and hopefully donate if you can do that, et cetera, et cetera.
And when will you stop? How long? What until what are you doing this?
Well, don't tell my wife, but I want to do it for the whole 40 days, but I'm monitoring my blood pressure every day and pulse and weight. So I'm, and I'm, obviously I'm keeping aware of how I'm feeling. But I've had some times where I've had to sit down to keep from losing consciousness. And how long I can go into the 40 days, I can't say for sure. And I'm not saying this to get a sainthood award or anything, but I've got cancer. I've got prostate cancer, and it's the most aggressive form. Joe Biden had a 9.5, and I got a 10, put it that way. It's not causing me any discomfort, but I'm on a whole different bunch of meds, and I don't know exactly what they're doing, but put it this way, they're not helping me function. So anyway, I don't know, and that goes for everybody. We're not doing this to the death, like some people have done in the past. That is not our intention, but our intention is to do it for just as long as we can. And so I
What if
guess
they
that's
end the
my
damn war? If they end the damn war, will you end the damn fast?
answer. Well, I don't know. We kind of put ourselves in a box because we said full humanitarian aid under the authority of the UN, which they might get around to doing before the next 30 days is up. But we also said no more weapons to Israel. So, you tell me when that's going to happen.
Those are two very easy, very reasonable demands, in my humble opinion.
Well, certainly. And a president who really likes to feel like he's running a whole damn world could make those things happen by within 24 hours, as he likes to say.
I'm sure he could. A Congress that gave a damn about being a Congress could as well. They gave a damn. Yeah. So what else are you all doing
So
in
you
your
want to, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you want to ask, I want to ask sometimes people, you want to ask people that make these decisions, How many bodies are enough? You know, pick a number. I don't care what it is. Pick the number we're at right now and stop this shit right now. Double it, carry it on for another how much longer? Pick a number. You know, at some point, this is going to stop. So the only question is how many people you want to die and disable for life before you make the decision to stop. So anyway.
I'll give you one example of dozens of these over the past couple of years. But yesterday I saw a video of our friend in Canada, Eve Engler, interviewing a member of Canadian Parliament who didn't want to be interviewed and asking him, will you support Israel if they kill every last person, every last Palestinian? Will you still support Israel? And he's, I support Israel. But is there a limit? Well, if they starve every baby, will you
Will
still
that be enough?
and
Pick a goddamn number, man.
I support Israel, go away. I support Israel, shut up. That was the answer. Like, so this is the support they're getting from these bought and paid for politicians across the Western world.
And it's killing me that I have yet I've been the last 2 years. I wanted to not pay my taxes, but my wife and I filed jointly, and I've never gotten around to sorting it out and saying, you know, la la, she's afraid we're going to lose a house and everything, which I've heard does not happen hardly ever. But the point is, before next April 15th comes up, I'm figuring out how to do that, and I am out of that part of the game.
Out of funding the wars.
Yeah.
Good for
And
you.
I'm sure they'll come begging for my $2,000, I'm sure at some point,
Well, let them beg.
but
What else are you all up to while you're fasting in New York City and elsewhere? And what response are you getting from anyone at the UN or on the street or otherwise? What response are you getting, if any, from the so-called journalism establishment in this country
Oh, in this country. Oh, okay.
or anywhere else?
In this country, zip. Zip. I have a feeling there's somebody's editor telling a reporter who says, oh, hey, how about if I go cover those fasters over at the UN? Ah, wait till one of them dies. But I can say that we've had a good coverage by Al Jazeera, TRT, which is a Turkish network. Anadolu, another Turkish network. And these are not just Turkish networks. People in Turkey are hearing this. Anadolu is like the AP. Media outlets anywhere in the world, particularly in that part of the world, subscribe, and they have done a great job. People have seen their coverage and maybe didn't know it was from them because, you know, whoever they are, is subscribing to it picks it up and they run it. But Democracy Now! Has been really the only U.S. outlet, there's been a few others. There was a Christian news network or something like that. And forgive me to anybody who's familiar with that, but they did at least run the news release. But it's been and we've been doing lots of interviews for various podcasts for people that are working at community radio or local public radio stations, literally all over the country. To whatever extent people are catching those things, Marjorie Cohn had a great article that she wrote for Truth Out that's been picked up by Consortium News and lots of other places, and she did a wonderful job describing what we're doing, and she embedded a video of Palestinians being herded into these cattle pens, waiting to get some aid, some food. And I tell you, when I saw that yesterday, I almost couldn't bear it. You know, it's just there. I mean, we know that the Israelis have been treating them like animals for a long time, but man, when you see them lined up in cattle pens in the goddamn desert and the conditions that they're under and everything else, and then, boy, somebody said the wrong thing, or maybe part of the crowd started to rush somebody, and all bets are off. We can start shooting them now. So it is so insane, so insane. And how in the world, we're doing this, you do what you do, on and on, but how in the world can we grab the conscience of this country and say, my God, we have to quit?
I know you're doing everything you can, and Veterans for Peace is trying various angles. I know beyond the fast, there are people pushing members of the U.S. military to disobey illegal orders. There are people planning to protest the upcoming fascism parade of weapons through Washington, D.C. What else is Veterans for Peace up to, and what should people do who are listening and do give a damn?
Well, we've got chapters, 100 chapters around the country, and some of them are very active and some are not very active. But I can tell you, I've been pleasantly surprised at the response to this fast. And I'm sure I'm only seeing a small part of what's going on, because our folks are great at doing things, but not so great at recording them and telling people. So I know in
Everybody.
the what?
Everybody's that way.
So I know a good number of those 100 chapters are, I mean, I've seen videos and photos of people, 6, 8, 10 VFP members out in Minneapolis, or lots of different places that are doing this. And one of the things people are doing is whether or not they can fast the entire period at that 250 calorie level. Is they'll get a chain of fasters, people that they know. And this is a wonderful thing to do, because this is an extremely difficult thing to do. Fasting like this is extremely difficult to do when you're by yourself or you feel isolated. I don't know how really anybody can do it, because having that sense of camaraderie and solidarity and people that can relate to what you're doing is extremely important. So this is a good organizing tool for anybody that wants to do that around the country. And VFP members are still working on a number of other things, climate issues, and we're working on a literature piece to take to U.S. Military at the Mexico border to urge them
Right.
to disobey illegal orders and so forth.
And protest and air shows World Beyond War has been working on with Veterans for Peace. I wish we could talk about a lot more, but we're out of minutes. But Mike Ferner, your mind seems sharp, at least for the past half hour. I hope it stays that way. And thanks for what you're putting yourself through and everything you've been doing. People should check out veteransforpeace.org. Mike Ferner, thanks for coming on Talk World Radio.
My pleasure, and thanks for the opportunity, David.
This is Talk World Radio. I'm David Swanson. Take action at rootsaction.org. Help end war at worldbeyondwar.org. Read or listen to today's Peace Almanac entry at peacealmanac.org. All past shows can be heard at talkworldradio.org. Talk World Radio is produced in Charlottesville, Virginia, and syndicated by Pacifica Network. There is no way to peace. Peace is the way.